broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, one of the great restorative solutions that we have at our disposal. Welcome to the broadcast. We are live 6 days a week. How many talk shows get that done? That's because to us, this is a sacred calling to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to bring forward the good news in America. And man, there's not enough of it, but we keep seeking for it, hunting for it. It's our unique take on stories that matter. It's not a popularity contest. It is a proper role of government focus. It is an understanding of the founding fathers. It is a separation of powers via the checks and balances on the federal level, the three branches of government, and on the state and federal level, separating the dual sovereignty. It's all about helping the people stay relevant and the people understanding that we, the people, have the authority and the power. And whatever authority government has that we don't have, it's improperly delegated. Got it? Welcome to the broadcast. This half hour is brought to you by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, 801-669-2211. Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. And if you're a Give Me Liberty Fund member, you get discounts on Raw Honey and other benefits and perks. You can get a Make America Great Again hat and a whole lot more. Get a hold of Kurt to learn more after becoming a Give Me Liberty Fund member. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Sign up today. And then Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, 801-669-2211. Yesterday's broadcast, a quick breakdown, just for the highlight purposes, if you will. We talked about the United States Economic Census. Did you know we had one of those? Did you know it's a mandatory thing for businesses? That's right. The United States Economic Census is a mandatory requirement for businesses if you get, quote, randomly selected. It's Title 13 of the U.S. Code, Sections 131, 191, and 224, manages the Census Bureau to take the economic census every 5 years. It's one of those regulations Donald ought to hear about and get rid of yesterday. Every 5 years, random businesses get automatically, voluntarily forced into the program? All right, we talked about Woody Harrelson, an extreme liberal, mocking Mike Pence's Christian faith. However, Woody's coming around, though, starting to believe in God again. There's hope. Our prayers are with Woody. Our defense is of Mike Pence. I don't think Mike's perfect, but I will defend his Christian stance, that's for sure. Marco Rubio sends me an email, says our majority is in danger. Yeah, you're right, Marco. You want to know why? Because y'all haven't kept the promises to folks that you said you would. You've been telling us you're going to abolish the education department for my whole lifetime. I ain't seen it yet, Marco. And I don't even see anybody trying to get it done. You promised to get rid of health care. I don't see it. I don't know what you guys have accomplished, but I submit that you back a pro-life stance like we've never seen before. But will Marco Rubio back the pro-life effort? I doubt it. He emails me and begs me for money and tells me his majority is in jeopardy. It's in danger. I wonder why, Marco. Maybe it ought to come back to returning to your platform. That'd be a good start. Maybe it ought to come back to keeping your oath of office. That would be a good start. Santa Clarita becomes latest city to oppose California's sanctuary state law. In other words, California is violating the law, folks. The federal government has sanctuary laws against it, saying, hey, you can't harbor these illegals. The city wants to obey the federal government and cooperate. It's the state that's out of line on this thing, folks. Wow. Economists think the next U.S. recession could begin in 2020. That'll be convenient to help them try to drumbeat Trump out of office. Time will tell where that goes. I'm not an economist in the traditional sense. I am a commentator. And I know the more we base our economy on gold and silver and the free market, the more stable and the more beneficial it will become to the American people. The more we run it by manipulation of fiat currency, the worse it will get for the American people. I can tell you those sound principles. I have no idea when it's going to be a boom or a bust, though, because I believe they can manipulate that against a president if they choose. Are they setting the stage for something, or are they just telling us that's their opinion? You know, the question sometimes with these economists, how much of this do they really drive with their manipulations? How much in fiat currency and futures can they use to really manipulate the economy? Are they giving us a heads up that they're going to manipulate the economy and bring it down right when Donald Trump's trying to get a second term in place? Don't know, but it's very, very interesting to say the least. U.S. jobless claims, on the other hand, stick near a 49-year low of 211,000. Bottom line, they're saying there's more jobs in America than we've had in 49 years. Tremendous. Donald talked about bringing the jobs back. And the way to do more of it is to have a sound economy based on honest money and based on a level playing field and less government regulation. Let the free market operate, baby. It created the best economic engine in the world. For the longest time, we've moved away from that with dishonest money as of recent, meaning the last 100 years. But we can return to sound money. By the way, did you know guns save over 2 million lives a year? Every year. Chuck Baldwin wrote an incredible article about this. And he highlights the study that was buried by our government. It's come to light now, though. The truth is important. This article is so compelling, we published it at libertyroundtable.com. Check it out. Guns save over 2 million lives in America every year. Chuck Baldwin. Check it out at libertyroundtable.com. Roy Moore files defamation lawsuit against four of his accusers. You say, okay, that's nothing new. He's been complaining for a long time. Yeah, but this is different. Why? Because six local judges have recused themselves in the lawsuit against accusers. Why so many judges saying they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole? Very interesting indeed. We even rolled that comment into the second hour with our guest, former Sheriff Richard Mack, who went all the way to the Supreme Court with Bill Clinton and won, defending our right to keep and bear arms, by the way. TheFreedomCoalition.com and CSPOA.org are his websites. And we talked about Tom Fitton's lawsuits. Judicial Watch now sues the Department of Justice for FISA court transcripts tied to the Clinton DNC dossier. Wow. Tom, go. Is that what you say? All I know is judges are freaking out when Tom Fitton gets in front of them. And they're freaking out when Roy Moore gets in front of them too, aren't they? Wow. Tucker Carlson, quote, modern liberalism is a religious movement to replace Christianity. Boy, howdy, is that spot on. Just look at the beating Roy Moore's taking and you'll see what I'm talking about. Wow. Anyway, good for Tucker. He's right. Facebook, strangely, enlists Eric Holder's law firm to advise on anti-conservative bias. Now, I don't know how you could get a more anti-conservative to help figure out anti-conservative bias, but there you go. Sounds like the fox in charge of the hen house, if you ask my opinion. Eric Holder and crew, wow, I thought those guys were going back to Chicago, never to be heard from again. But they turn up like a bad penny, don't they? The BLM, that's not Black Lives Matter in this case, it's the Bureau of Land Management. They want to sell 430 acres of, they say, BLM land near Ely, Nevada. That ought to be a weird thing. If you buy the land and then the BLM comes, could you kick them off your land? Just wondering. That was a recap with good Sheriff Richard Mack yesterday. That broadcast is still available online at your fingertips, on demand. Check it out. Share it with your friends and listen at libertyroundtable.com. And while you're there, please donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network. We could use your financial support, please. We've got day jobs. We don't want you to fund our families. We're not begging for money. But if you find our broadcast of value, if you say, you know what, those guys bring real news to me. Those guys do a good job. You know what? If we provide value for you, return the favor and donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network today, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com is our talk show's website. LibertyNewsRadio.com is an incredible website with talk shows around the clock. Our national syndicator, Liberty News Radio. Donate today. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available on demand. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Now, you brought up an article yesterday right at the end of the hour, Kurt, and I wanted to kind of highlight it and tease it, so I'm glad you brought it up, but I wanted to dig into a little bit more today, so I saved the headline. Headline, Baltimore Police Chief. His name is DeSalsa or DeSousa, and I guess he's charged with failing to file his taxes, but don't worry, the mayor still expresses confidence in him. You want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, yeah, I thought it was a sad deal where this guy apparently for about 3 years, he just didn't get around to it. Anybody who's had to do all those forms and everything else may understand, exactly why he didn't get around to it. You know, it is kind of a headache and just getting everything done. And there's so many simpler, better ways to, extract a pound of flesh or at least pay your just desserts. But in this guy's case, apparently he's repented, and at least for the last couple of years, he's working on a payment, and he's got his recent ones filed, but even the Baltimore police chief,
my response is, why don't we just get rid of all these direct taxes that abuse the people and choke the income side of the equation? And what if we move to more apportionment taxes that are not direct or indirect taxes and more constitutional ways like tariffs at the borders? And what if we just lay off the American people and quit treating everybody like criminals, huh?
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so you got the Baltimore police chief charged with failing to file taxes. The mayor expresses confidence in him. I just kind of want to know, why don't we just get rid of all these unconstitutional taxes that just require all kinds of just jumping through hoops and manipulations? It almost turns everybody into a criminal. Everybody hates it. No, okay. I want to be patriotic and I want to pay my fair share. But what I don't want to do is be drugged through the coals. I don't want my privacy violated. I don't want to spend a gazillion, years and hours and time on it. And I don't want to be under the penalty of perjury and abused all the time. Why can't we just put constitutional indirect apportionment taxes and border taxes or tariff taxes in place and lay off the people, Kurt. This is an example here. I don't think this guy means any harm. I just think he, like everybody else, is just done with the compliance abuse, done with the hostility from the government, done with the direct nature of abuse that goes on. It's got to stop. And so I'm defending this guy personally.
Well, that's right, Sam. And it's too bad an entity like the BaltimoreSun.com and all their, ink and whatever, they don't have a chance to make a little note and say, well, what if we, made these changes? Wouldn't it be better for our system? But anyway, they got three authors there.
See, they're not engaged in solutions. They're just engaged in attacking this poor guy. See, we're engaged in solutions, Kurt, and that's why we point this out. No one's saying that there's not an appropriate, proper role of government that needs to be funded. We're not debating that. We're debating how it's done and how abused the people are in the process. And then they run around and go, well, Sam's anti-tax. Sam's a tax protester. Lies. Don't be telling those lies. I support the proper role of limited government, and I do every time.
Yep. In this guy's case, apparently, he's 53 years old. Here's the phrase that you'll see in this. They say willfully failed to file federal tax returns for 2013, 2014, and 2015, despite having been a salaried employee of the police department in those years. That's what prosecutors said. And they unsealed these charges. And D'Souza admitted he did not file federal returns as well as state taxes for the 3 years. He said he filed taxes for 2016 and received an extension for 2017. Now, the way it makes it sound is that he's not paid any tax, Sam, right? Pretty much.
Well, of course, that's the way you just vilify him as a criminal, sir.
And yet,
they use these terms willful and everything else, like he's just intentionally just ripping off the government, kind of an idea, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. He says, there's no excuse for my failure to fulfill my obligations as a citizen and public official. My only explanation is that I failed to sufficiently prioritize my personal affairs. And as far as I know, he didn't have any affairs. But in this case, it says he faces as much as 1 year in prison and a $25,000 fine for each of the three counts.
That ought to make things better. Just charge the guy 25 grand that he doesn't have already, pile, insult injury on the taxes, then throw him in prison and make the taxpayers pay a ton of cash for it, and leave a good guy that could make a living and could, add to the tax, rolls, if you will, then just put him in prison to where he's got a record. I mean, see, this makes no sense at all, Kurt. We're just turning people into criminals. It's out of control.
Well, at least what I've seen in the past, they kind of want to, anybody who's really public, they want to make an example of him. It says his initial court appearance has not been scheduled. The mayor there expressed full confidence in Mr. D'Souza. And by the way, the picture I saw shows he's a, I guess you'd call him an African-American in America.
But I don't care what he is. I'm just telling you right now, why don't we just step aside and go, hey, man, this is a bad deal. You didn't have your affairs in order or whatever. We know the tax burden is so darn abusive. We're right in the middle of trying to lower taxes and changing it up here at the Trump administration. And we're going to go ahead and say no harm, no foul on this dude. Get this thing solved yesterday. And let's just simply say no harm, no foul and move on. And let's use this as an example to get people back, squared away on taxes. The IRS is going to be incredibly forgiving because we're going to be abolishing it soon anyway. All I'm telling you is we got to move forward with this. Now, why don't they turn this into a racial discussion, Kurt?
Well, that's why
they're probably
the
attacking him because he's black.
I think this guy will be able to keep his post. My opinion, one of the reasons for that is because he's not a white man.
But here's my question, though. But you got this priority of acceptables, Kurt. So race is important, but tax protesters, it doesn't matter what color you are, buddy, if you're one of them. Now, they want you to believe this guy willfully violated it. That would put him in the tax protester camp, right? But this guy's saying there's no excuse for my behavior. I'm wrong. It was my fault. I didn't have my affairs in order. He's not acting like he's against it or unwilling to pay or willful or any of those things, Kurt.
Yeah, and way down in the story, you find out, you know, that he, they say about how much he earned, you know, for 2013, they say he earned a little over $93,000. 2014, a little over almost $102,000. 2015, $127,000. It says he noted that he had paid some federal, state, and local taxes during those years through the withholdings on his paychecks. He said he was working with a tax advisor to address the delinquent filings. So really, instead of them making it seem like the guy hadn't put in a pound of flesh or any of that stuff.
Or that he's not cooperating.
Yeah, that you'd say, well, he just really hasn't got his paperwork in, but he has paid his, been having his withholdings and all that stuff. But, you know, that would make the story a little less bloodthirsty, if you ask me.
Heard that. Now, I bring this willful issue up so much because I remember one time when I owned a radio station, I had a radio tower, and a fence around the radio tower kind of fell down. And I'm not sure if vandals, you know, took it down or if it was consequence of a storm or whatever, but the government found out that it was down before I did, and they came back and tried to find me a big old bunch of money and said that I willfully violated FCC rules, and they acted like it was intentional on my part. It could not have been further from the truth. The truth is, the second I found out about it, I fixed it. I took photos of the fixed fence and sent it into the government and said, my gosh, I can't, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. I was not aware. I don't know if it was vandals. I wrote this cover letter that went with the photos, and I had remedied the situation and apologized. And they were acting like I was willfully violating the FCC rules, Kurt. And that couldn't be further from the truth either. That was a complete lie. I did my very best to obey all the rules when I owned an FCC-licensed radio station. But this is how they do it, though. They just attack. It's the only way they can raise money for their unconstitutional programs. And that's why we need Donald to help us shut them down yesterday. All right.
That's a great point, Sam.
You know who the Republican governor of Vermont is, Kurt?
I don't think I could mention his name.
All right, Phil Scott.
Or her name. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that could be a her, but I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
Now, the Republican governor of Vermont,
Phyllis, maybe.
Phil Scott, signed a bill on Friday that would require all individual occupancy bathrooms in public buildings to be labeled as gender neutral. And the law goes into effect July 1, Kurt. Now, I want to know if you see anything wrong with this headline.
Okay, so they're going to require all bathrooms to be gender neutral?
No. And I don't mean to.
Oh, which kind of bathroom?
You got to be really careful. The Republican governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, signed into law. It was a bill on Friday that would require all individual occupancy bathrooms in public buildings to be labeled as gender neutral. The law goes into effect July the 1st. Now, do you see anything wrong with this headline?
So, number one, the government's not supposed to be in charge of labeling bathrooms. Number two, just the phrase gender neutral, you know, I think if you would have mentioned that to the founders, they would have said, what? But anyway, those are couple of places to start.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Now, here's my interesting part. I believe they're trying to create something out of nothing. And they're trying to lead with this agenda, which is to blur the genders, to manipulate reality. Here's what the headline is. So you got to understand this. Republican governor signed it into law, which means the legislative body in Vermont passed it. And the governor is signing it into law, and it's taking effect July 1st. That's all normal. And they're talking about bathrooms in public buildings, so I guess you could debate the government has, you know, some involvement there, right? Because they're public buildings, government buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find fascinating about this is they say all individual bathrooms. Now, I don't know what an individual bathroom is, and I'll explain in a minute. And I don't know what a gender-neutral bathroom is, I'll explain in a minute. But I have seen these across America for literally decades, and I'll explain what they've done in seconds, okay?
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I think they're playing everybody. They're trying to make this a hot button, and they're calling these individual bathrooms by label in Vermont now gender neutral. Kurt, but look, these individual bathrooms have been around for a long time, and there's different names for them. A lot of times they're considered handicap bathrooms or bathrooms. They're called family bathrooms. Okay, and so when you got a big building like this, usually the bathrooms, you got a men's one and a woman's one, and the men and women's bathrooms are usually big. You know, a bunch of people can go in there at the same time or whatever, and multiple stalls or urinals or whatever, and but the problem with those bathrooms is if you're a little kid and you're just with mom and you're a boy, then it's kind of rough because mom doesn't really want you to go into the bathroom with all these other people by yourself. And so in the past, mom has kind of taken the boy into the girl's bathroom, or the opposite. Dad has to take the little daughter into the boy's bathroom. It's kind of awkward and the kids feel weird about it. And parents just say, well, I'm just doing my best. I just can't let my kid go, you know, alone into these kind of places or whatever. And so these individual bathrooms were kind of for that reason. They were family bathrooms for somebody to change a little child or somebody to help somebody to the bathroom. I, as a completely blind person, Kurt, love these bathrooms. And the reason I do is because when I'm by myself, if I've got a buddy to go in with, it's no big deal. They can show me where to go. It's fine. But if I'm by myself in an airport or some big building where there's just these massive bathrooms and a lot of people If I go to a play or somewhere, you know, in the intermission, there's just a big bathroom with a bunch of people. It's impossible to go in there by yourself. Even if I could find my way around with all the people, it's about impossible to navigate by myself. But these little bathrooms, these family bathrooms is what I like to call them. You know what? My wife can just take me to one of those. I can go in there by myself, go to the restroom, handle it just fine. You know, no problem. Or if I've got my little daughter with me, you know what? I can kind of, you know, go in there with her. And well, now my daughter's too old. But all I'm telling you is when my kids were younger. And it was no problem. It was great. I could function well. They were kind of family bathrooms, or I don't know if you want to call them special needs bathrooms, whatever, but they kind of serve that purpose. Now they're trying to put this gender label on here, Kurt. This bill changes nothing, except for, in my opinion, these Republicans have been deceived in the politically correct idea. So they got the Republican governor of Vermont named Phil Scott signed the bill on Friday that requires all individual occupancy bathrooms to now call them gender neutral bathrooms. I believe they've fallen for the political correct lie on this, Kurt. This changes nothing. The bathrooms serve the same purpose they always have, which is to let disabled people go to the restroom easily without having to navigate all the different twist and turning hallways and a gazillion people and maybe some facilities that don't have bars or things that can aid the disabled or whatever, or visually impaired people. It's easier for them to go to the restroom, or parents with children or whatever. Now they're literally falling into this trap. This changes nothing except for they put a new label on a door that says gender neutral now, and they've now fallen into the politically correct lie. This is an example where the Republicans are failing, Kurt. They're falling into this political correct idea, and they're sacrificing normalcy, time-tested, honored traditions on the altar of this. Shame on the governor of Vermont. Shame on the Republican legislature here. Shame on Phil Scott, Kurt. This is nothing but a perversion, in my opinion. It changes nothing in reality, Kurt, except it falls into this trap and muddies the water and confuses the issue and furthers this gender fluidity lie, Kurt. That's what's happening here. Because it's just individual bathrooms we're talking about, or family bathrooms, or whatever you used to call them. Isn't that how you've always thought of these smaller single-person or single-occupancy restrooms, Kurt?
You know, when I at least... I never really thought much about it simply because, you know, I mean, whether I look around and see, I don't have to deal with the blindness thing like you do, Sam. But of course, unless I'm with you, you know, but the thing that has amazed me is it seemed like when I was a kid, sometimes in most places you'd go, especially in my kind of backwoods place where I grew up, you're just lucky if they had a bathroom. They didn't have to really put man or woman on it. It just said bath, restroom, you know. And, you know, it wasn't equipped with more than one place or whatever. And so you didn't even have any federal official label and things, or state official. People just had a restroom, you know.
Yeah, and my problem with it is they're taking something that's so normal that you and I have taken as just reality. People need to go to the restroom. It's a single occupancy. Of course, anybody can go in there and use the facilities, and that's great. But now they're making this into a political agenda, and that's my problem with it. And you got the Republicans leading the way in this case to create these new labels. They're labeled as gender neutral. It's kind of my problem with this is I don't know what that means. So does that mean if I claim that I'm a man, that since I'm not gender neutral, I can't use it, Kurt? Do I have to claim that I'm not a gender now so that I can go to the restroom? What does gender neutral even mean?
It wouldn't surprise me, Sam. It's just up is down and down is up in our world.
I heard that.
Seems like.
Anyway, they've manipulated into a very politically correct scenario, but the bottom line is they're going to pay dearly, because when you start embracing this gender neutral term, what's that going to be codified as and defined as in the law and through the courts? And I'm just telling you, we're going down a rabbit hole that they're going to regret. Write it down. Remember who warned you about it. But this headline is very dishonest from the press, in my opinion. It's very dishonest to the Republicans because it changes nothing. It just puts this politically correct label that sends us down a rabbit hole that I don't think they want this discussion, and they're going to regret it. Write it down. Remember who warned you first. All right,
you
Senator Lieberman.
At least in this, real quick before we leave the story, the headline out of Philadelphia now is Starbucks executive Howard Schultz Well, bathrooms open to everyone after two black men were arrested. You remember that story from a little while back, but now Howard Schultz has said, hey, everybody can use our bathrooms. I mean, that's how it kind of used to be, right?
Well, that's how it is almost everywhere. Anyway, already, still, has been, will be, etc. I don't even understand.
You'll have to have some corporate training to make sure that's
all. Oh, yeah, Starbucks is all about that. But I've been mentioning to you forever, though, that I think, you know, you'd think that a business would be like, yeah, welcome, come on in. There's some free facilities you can use, and we hope you buy something while you're here, too. We love you. Please come back soon. You would think that would be the attitude, right? But what do I know about sales, right? You know?
That's right. You've not had any corporate real big wig training from high above.
Oh, thank the Lord.
You don't have a degree in it either.
Oh, that's
even
greater blessing.
So therefore, you couldn't know anything.
All right. Senator Lieberman's in the news, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. And I found this interesting. Now, you're not going to hear about it from many places because, well, it's not like... Senator Lieberman wants to kill somebody or hurt somebody or beat up somebody, or, you know, there's not a bunch of, you know, sadness in the story. What you got, Sam, is, well, he's being nice. I mean, he's saying good stuff. So it's kind of crazy, but that's what's going on.
It's, he says what? Trump will bring stability?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, imagine that, Sam.
It's worded weird, though. He says he will bring stability in Middle East and Asia. But it's worded kind of strange because you kind of wonder if it's instability, but it's stability in.
Yeah.
And so he's saying that he's going to make it more stable, right?
That's right.
And I hope that's true. And it's a nice comment, but I'm not convinced that our foreign entanglements will bring stability, though. So I understand the point that he's kind to Donald, and there's some good phrasing there, and I hope and pray that it's true, but I don't see that as being involved there at all brings stability, personally. So I understand the kindness to Trump, and that's good, but I'm not so sure I agree with the viewpoint, Kurt.
Yep. Well, you know, the headline is from Breitbart, and it says, Senator Lieberman praises Trump, which, you know, is pretty odd, being that I think he would typically work with the Democrats when he was in Congress. It says, USA in position to bring stability in Middle East and Asia. Now, you know, it seems like it's just nice to see something where it's not like, Senator Lieberman says Trump's a buffoon or whatever, you know. You know, so at least it kind of follows what Melania Trump says, Mrs. Trump, about.
Well, and I pray that Lieberman's right, Kurt.
Best, you know what I mean? Being nice.
Right? I pray Lieberman's right. I personally think the better course would be to back out of a lot of these foreign entanglements, so I think that would be the wiser course. Senator Paul's office came out with some details that is fascinating as well, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And, you know, you look at some of this. A headline reads, also Breitbart piece says, Senator Paul's office, up to 50% of billions in U.S. funds for Afghanistan misspent or disappears entirely.
Now, you remember how I told you we arm and train and fund the enemy, Kurt?
Good point.
When you say that up to 50% of the billions of dollars in U.S. funds that we give to Afghanistan misspent or disappears entirely, you kind of start to say, oh, that's where that funding and training and arming comes from, huh? Yeah. Liberty Roundtable Live. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So Senator Rand Paul's office says up to 50% of billions of dollars that are U.S. funds sent to Afghanistan has been misspent or has disappeared entirely. This is what I'm talking about when I say we fund and train and arm the enemy. Whether it's intentional or not, sometimes it's hard to tell. I believe a lot of it is intentional. But whether it's intentional or not isn't the point. The point is it's happening, Kurt.
Well, it's exactly right, Sam. And when you look at the huge, huge amount of money that is, I was going to say disappears down a rat hole. But, you know, the huge amount of money that just is lost and could be used, well, it could be back into the American taxpayers' hands, pockets, whatever you will. But the headline for Breitbart is Senator Paul's office, up to 50% of billions in U.S. funds for Afghanistan misspent or disappears entirely. And so Edwin Mora is the author there at Breitbart, and it says, during a Senate panel hearing on U.S. spending in Afghanistan, Sergio Gore, Senator Paul's deputy chief of staff, indicated in a written testimony that between 20 and 50% of U.S. reconstruction funding in Afghanistan goes to corruption, waste, fraud, and abuse. John Sopko, the U.S. Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, they call him a SIGAR. That's, you know, when you take each letter of that stuff, put it together. He also testified before the Senate panel. He noted in his written remarks that there are different components to America's nation-building activities, and they include, he says, rebuilding Afghanistan's national security forces, promoting the rule of law, fighting widespread corruption and the narcotics trade, improving public health and education, promoting respect for human rights, expanding electric and transportation infrastructure, and furthering economic development. So this is what we are apparently doing with some of our money. Now, he also revealed that in addition to the $126 billion devoted to reconstruction, now that was $126 billion, not $126. Anyway, devoted to reconstruction operation, the United States has spent about $750 billion on the American military offensive alone since the war started back in, if you're keeping track, October of 2001. So the overall total they've spent is right near $900 billion, so pretty close to $1 trillion. the high-ranking staffer from the office of Senator Paul, by the way, is a staunch critic of the waste associated with the Afghanistan war effort. He added, the United States needs to lessen our aid dramatically to Afghanistan. Yeah, put it right down to zero. So much of our aid is lost to waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. He went on to say, some estimate that as much as 50% of our money is misspent, mismanaged, or disappears entirely. According to recent testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the United States' involvement in Afghanistan is going to cost taxpayers a whopping $45 billion in 2018. It just goes on and on. It's a pretty lengthy article, unlike most of them from Breitbart. But they talk about the Government Accountability Office, and that's got to be one place that's really busy. They say a guy there, his name is McNeil, Gregory McNeil. They call him a top Republican there. He said that, an estimated $50 million worth of new and in the packaging, it says on here, equipment was being destroyed. And that's what he found when they went over there. So imagine you got these new computers or new chairs or new books, whatever, new boxes, new desks. And before they're even open, they're destroying them. I guess, that's part of the way we are carefully spending your tax dollars. But anyway, it's just sad to see, but we see it so many times. They say despite the millions of American taxpayer dollars being trashed, the Defense Criminal Investigative Service, or DCIS, and I didn't even know we had one of those, determined, quote, nothing criminal was happening, and it didn't warrant further investigation, end quote. It was business as usual for the Pentagon, which received more money this year than any other department in the history of the United States. Pretty crazy, huh, Sam? But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like so many times, it's as they say, business as usual. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, man, they're carefully using your tax dollars. I just wish that were the case.
Amen to that. I want to talk about the proper role of government just for a second with this as well, Kurt. So let me get this right.
Yeah.
We send $1 trillion in foreign aid to Afghanistan. There's no constitutional authority or provision for that whatsoever. Part of it's nation building. Part of it's funding war. Part of it's arming, training, and funding the enemy. Part of it's just mismanagement in nation building. None of it is properly authorized in the sense that, hey, you can't steal money from the U.S. taxpayer. Now, here's the problem that I have with it. So you got $1 trillion in that, and up to 50% of it is mismanaged. Well, I would submit to you that that's even according to their rules or guidelines. I'd say 100% of it's mismanaged because it's stolen from the U.S. taxpayer, first of all, or it's borrowed. Neither are very good. But so we're going to literally, and at the top of the hour, we talked about this story where this Baltimore police chief, DeSalsa, this guy got charged with failing to file his taxes. Okay, now he did pay taxes. He just didn't pay enough, or I don't know all the details. I'm just telling you, they act like he willfully violated the law and he's not paying his part.
Yeah, he just didn't fill out his forms, that's all.
Okay, but he did pay a bunch of money, let's be clear. And now they literally mismanage $1 trillion in Afghanistan, and then they're going to spend their time attacking this police chief guy in Baltimore. And they're not really going to focus on this $500 billion that's been mismanaged. And they're going to basically act like, you know, Senator Rand Paul's office, they're kind of kooky. Rand Paul's just raging against foreign aid for nothing kind of an idea. They're going to increase spending. That's what Donald and crew are doing. Increasing spending on this, quote, military malinvestment overseas or whatever. And we're really going to have that on the two sides of the coin from government. We're going to attack this police chief that didn't file all of his paperwork properly and make an example out of him. But yet we're going to spend $500 billion in Afghanistan that's just flat out mismanaged. Now, there's a lot of people that have tried to discredit Rand Paul on these numbers, Kurt, but they find out when they research it that he's absolutely correct. Even the liberals are doubling down and admitting that he's right. And so I find that interesting, but I find it fascinating that we're going to literally attack this police chief guy, or, you know, Joe Blow that didn't file his taxes perfectly. We're going to go after that guy, but we're going to let $500 billion just be completely mismanaged. And then there's not really any real attempt at oversight on this, is there, Kurt? I mean, Rand's office is complaining about it, and he's spot on, but I don't see anybody moving heaven and earth to resolve it, to fix it, to create accountability, to stop it, to change it, to rein it in, to create accountability, heads to roll. Or I don't see anything real solid to change it or do anything except just more money, right?
You know, at least I suppose you could only point to, two or three of the senators or representatives that would be working on that.
Amen to that. Well, no matter what, though, even with those problems, we highlight them because we need to change them. All right. But they're way better than the Venezuelan dictator scenario, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. this is a Mother's Day story. And by the way, if you haven't, if you're not up on it.
Nothing Mother's like Day dictators is, and Mother's Day, huh?
Yeah, it's coming up tomorrow, by the way. But the headline from Breitbart and Francis Martel says, Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro announces national, quote, Mother's Day, end quote, bonus worth $2. Yeah, they're going to give them all these, by the way, these Venezuelan mothers who are on their records, they're going to receive 1.5 million Bolivar deposit in their bank accounts. And this is a bonus. They're going to celebrate Mother's Day. Now, 1.5 million Bolivar sounds like a pretty good batch of money, but it adds up to about $2.15. It kind of shows you how,
Well, this dictator's kind of doing what George Bush did, just passing out the cash. Everybody gets a bonus, right, Kurt?
Yeah, good point.
But the dictator's doing it for Mother's Day, right?
Yeah, and yet it doesn't really come up that or sound that much, like that much, when you figure out how much it's really worth in U.S. dollars, anyway.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have fiat currency go awry, Kurt.
I guess in the past, on Christmas Eve, he had announced a baby Jesus bonus. It was worth $6.
And well, hey, at least they got a baby Jesus bonus around here. You can't even talk about baby Jesus, or you're like the enemy of the state. kind of a combatant person, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Before the end of the hour, the Hill's in the news, too, Kurt.
Well, there you go, Sam. Let's see, looking up the Hill story.
The Hill drops out of White House correspondence dinner, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So the bottom line is this correspondence dinner has been a meltdown. It's been a meltdown because it was just pornographic and Donald and everybody's been against it. Well, the Hill finally says, look, we're not doing this anymore. And you know what? Good for the Hill newspaper.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody cancels the dinner.
At Breitbart is the one who, brings this up. And, you know, they just said, hey, we're not going to, they did leave the door open, they said, but they wouldn't return without major reforms. That's good news for the folks at the Hill, and I'm glad to see somebody standing up to the craziness of what's going on there.
Amen to that. Now what, Gary Cohen's in the news, Kurt? Surprise on this one?
Let's see, Gary Cohen.
He says, I'm a globalist.
Oh, yeah. No big surprise, right? Most of us, we've just known that for forever. But, he's coming out and saying, hey, that's what I am. And that's the problem that most of us Americans have with these global elites. They think that they're going to just take over America. America is not really for globalists. It's for Americans.
Oh, imagine that. Just shows what a racist you are. You're a nationalist isolationist, aren't you? See, that's how they lie, folks.
That's just
what they do. By the way, I guess a company sold $25,000 service dogs. Turns out they were just really untrained puppies, Virginia says, huh?
Yeah, you know a little bit about that, but it's kind of the way it is when you get government or whatever involved in these things. An individual would never spend that kind of money on them, but I'll bet they're taxpayer-funded or insurance-funded, something like that.
Well, and it's just a dishonest scam is what the bottom line is on that one. Thanks for being alongside. Hour two coming up. This nation shall endure.